Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Sizes now come together to form a team.
More of Toucher and Rich.
That could be interesting.
On Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Police are not saying a whole lot. They say that they arrived here at the Hollywood Oaks neighborhood, a gated community here in Hollywood, because of a call of a possible battery. They say they did take one person into custody, but as for Antonio Brown, they say they never even got a chance to speak with him.
The call came in around 2 o'clock Monday, a disturbance at this palatial home in the Hollywood Oaks neighborhood. The home of former NFL wide receiver Antonio Brown. In front of the home, a moving truck.
When officers arrived on scene, they did make contact with a victim who stated he was a victim of battery.
A source close to the incident tells 7 News that the victim is the moving truck driver, that when he arrived at Brown's home to make a delivery, Brown and another man argued with him about a payment issue, that Brown and his friend pulled the driver forcefully from the cab, and one of them even threw a rock at the driver's side door. The friend, the driver says, began pulling items from the back of the truck. Hollywood police say they arrested Brown's trainer, Glenn Holt, who's now facing charges of burglary and battery. And as for Antonio Brown, police say when they arrived, he wouldn't come out of his house.
Officers attempted to make contact with him and were unsuccessful.
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Ted Johnson, everyone loves Ted Johnson. He joins us here. In studio, that, of course, is Antonio Brown, who's falling apart. And
has been for a while.
This is an Aaron Hernandez documentary in real time.
My goodness.
Is what this is.
The one part about all of this, that if Antonio Brown up to this point had any kind of protection, like, by the police, like if they were covering up for some of the things he was doing, he completely blew that last week when on video he was yelling at him and calling him all those horrible words
Front of his kids,
and then he threw that bag of blanks at him, the old gummy, penises. Yeah. And they had to come out with a statement saying that, all right, well, we're giving you back all of the money that you've ever donated. We used to let you use like the police department's football field to practice. So now if he does anything, oh, they're going to go all in, and they're going to relish it, and they're going to not protect him from anybody because, I mean, we know that happens with athletes a lot, but not anymore.
Good,
so
good.
Get ready.
I mean, good, because he doesn't deserve their protection or, he's lost all benefit of the doubt when it comes to the police department. So whenever you start going after those guys, are you kidding me?
Yep.
Those are the guys you want on your side. So I've never seen anybody unravel quite like this in such a public kind of form. Nobody in football.
Yeah.
Now, maybe if there were social media, 10, 20 years ago, maybe we would see it. But I've never seen a player's behavior, of a football player, anything close to like this. You know, I think it's just part of it is the stardom, the way in which our the culture is now as far as just kind of hero worshiping, these guys, and then the money combined on top of that. You're seeing maybe more types of behaviors like this. But
well, he also got called on it, which he was in a situation where he thought he could get away with anything, mm-hmm. and then he got called on it, and he doesn't seem like a guy who's very introspective and thinks, oh well, maybe I've made a mistake. I'm sure he figures it's everyone's fault but himself, mm-hmm. and now he's you know, surrounding himself with people and doing God knows what and lashing out.
Don't you think, you guys, that it was probably pretty bad in Pittsburgh for a long time? And
yes.
That it was just kept under wraps for so long.
Yes.
You're so insulated. It's kind of like these small college towns where, you know, players get away with so much, but everybody's kind of in on the deal. It's a systemic type of protection, kind of coding there. That
well, that's like Tomlin. I mean, you can right. If you want to give Tomlin credit.
I mean, you have to. Like, I used to crap on him, but now when you take a look at just what a maniac this guy was,
agreed.
You remove him from the protection, as you said, of Mike Tomlin and that organization, and then you truly get to see what they had to deal with the entire time. The worst thing, think about it. Like, one of the worst things that we saw him do, he was at Pittsburgh. I mean, think about just how bad we used to think this was, where Tomlin was talking to the team, and he was just doing a live stream in the locker room. Like, that was, like, as bad as it got. And now you look at it, you're like, oh, my God.
He got his scholarship rescinded from Florida State. I mean,
like, of all schools, right?
I mean, right. That, you know how much you have to F off.
It was over academics, too, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, I'm sure it was over a lot.
Couldn't read the academic requirements at Florida
there
State.
There are people that have come out publicly and said they couldn't read when they got out of college. No, I'm not lying. There are football players who spent 3 years in college who couldn't read.
Who's the guy from LSU that everyone always talks about?
Morris Claiborne,
who got the three on the Wonderlic.
Yeah. So I mean, kind of quotes him.
But how bad is it when your agent, I mean, the agent who, it's basically free money. To be an agent, an NFL football agent, is like not that hard, right? I mean, you just, it's an excuse to print money. When all you do is you just saddle yourself up to a guy that's as talented as Antonio Brown, let him go do his thing, and then here comes the money.
Yeah.
Right? It's not, you don't have to work. It's not like baseball or I think football agents, with all due respect, they're nice. A lot of them are nice guys. It's pretty easy to collect a paycheck. And you fire Antonio Brown. It's so bad that you're like, I don't even want this free money anymore. It's not even worth it anymore.
The best head is that he didn't fire him. He said, when he's ready to come back and when he goes to rehab, I'll be there waiting. In other words, when he's ready to get paid again, I'll be there to take his money.
True.
Right.
That's a better way
yeah, let's not remove ourselves completely from the gentleman.
Right. I mean, there's cash to be made. I want part of it.
All right. So we know that the Patriots organization protected people because we know that they protected Aaron Hernandez. When Aaron Hernandez asked to be traded, Belichick said no, and they put him in some weird apartment, like bad garbage apartment, where he just smoked weed all day.
I never knew that.
They didn't put him there, though. That's not the Patriots who did that.
No. The Patriots found it. It was them.
It was the Patriots.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
He was at.
See, I've not watched part three of the documentary.
Yeah, I have. Yeah,
okay,
I have.
Then that's something new. Patriots. So, take me through that because that's new.
All right, so here's the deal. Because
I remember he had that flophouse apartment, but it was never credited to.
So here's what he does.
Okay.
He goes to Bill Belichick and he says, I want to be traded because he knows he's going to get killed.
This is when he flies out and sees him out there, right? Didn't they kind of knew there was trouble?
This is after he shot his buddy in the face in Florida.
So he knew
that guy was connected.
Okay, so he shoots his buddy in the face, and then the next day the guy he shot is no joke.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the interviews.
And the next day the guy calls him and goes, and Aaron Hernandez goes, who is this? And he goes, you know who the F I am.
I'm the guy you thought was dead.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
So he shoots this crazy-ass guy who's got basically a gang around him. And the guy calls him the next day. So that's not good. So
shoot a guy in the face, he doesn't die. Yeah, he's like the Terminator.
And so he goes, he becomes completely paranoid. So he goes to Bill Belichick. And he says, can you please trade me? Someone's going to kill me. And Bill Belichick goes, no, but there is a woman who puts people, helps with, your real estate and stuff. Like, so when you go, when you're on the Patriots, was this, when you were there, Ted, where they, they hook you up with, a house and stuff?
No. This was after me.
Okay, sorry. Well, now they hold your hand through everything.
I guess so.
So the organization finds him this apartment, and it's, this garbage apartment.
Because they wanted him to just be away from all of that.
No,
they
gave him the apartment to hide out in.
But
the apartment was not far from his home.
But the Patriots paid for it?
The Patriots found it for him and suggested that he do it.
I don't think they paid for it, but they found it for him, yes.
They suggested it and found it for him.
Fascinating.
See, that's unbelievable. And I can't believe that hasn't been. Now, who made that statement during the interview? Because the one thing in that documentary is it's all said by it. There's no narrator. It's all people going on record is what they know.
There was a statement in court there was, and then they had the real estate.
Wow, person. Crazy, hey, man.
Yeah.
Well, I don't make the patience.
Above all else, someone's trying to kill me. Yeah, okay. Well, shoot, you know, we'll just get you a house, and we'll send you some protection because we need you for this game coming up Sunday.
I don't even know if they sent him protection, but all he did in this apartment was chain smoke weed and piss off this cat lady.
That's right. They interviewed the cat lady. She was sitting in like ragamuffin clothes on this park bench in front of the complex, which he
and
hasn't
then,
moved from.
What was funny, there was actually something a little humorous about this, is that after she saw him getting arrested, one of her neighbors was like, because he was smoking so much weed,
yeah.
They were like, wait, he has an effing mansion? Yeah. Like, why is he in here? I mean, I'm telling you, that place was a dump.
Well, I did see the one clip where this woman described it as smelling like a skunk. You're like, well, I mean, that's kind of what it smells like when people are smoking a ton of weed.
So does the documentary get better? So it's a 3-part series?
It's really good.
It is.
Okay,
because
I heard the first one was a little, it was disconnected and not a good flow to it.
Because the first one, I'll say this much about the first one. The first one is a lot of stuff we've known. Okay. And then the second one, it starts to get really good. And as I said, Fred and John have watched the third. I have not.
Right.
And I think the third also has the street sweeper guy in it who was a superstar on The Stand. The guy who still wanted his...
They don't know.
Oh, they didn't?
No.
Okay, because somebody told me, because that guy was great. Because
it was great when it first happened. It was really good.
He kept complaining about not getting reimbursed for his parking for coming to court that day.
No, they didn't have that guy.
That guy was great.
Yeah.
So, I see, they should make a whole documentary just about that guy.
The street sweeper guy?
The street sweeper guy.
Him and the guys who found the banner?
Oh, well, the banner guys. Just make a movie about them. Just follow them around.
The big heist.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you already talked about this that's sitting right here? Not to get us derailed.
No, but you could mention it.
I can't believe that. The headline on this this article that's sitting right next to me, I didn't mean to jump
that's
ahead.
That's all right.
Why do I find this to be unbelievable? I don't know what you guys think of J.J. Watt. I have an idea maybe how you think of J.J. Watt. But
says
here, the title of this article on Pro Football Talk, J.J. Watt to host Saturday Night Live.
Yep, the day before the Super Bowl.
Oh, boy.
J.J. Watt bringing the yucks.
Oh, boy. Ew.
I have to just say this, okay, because I covered the guy for many, many years down there. I thought the douche factor was very, very high with him.
Yes.
I got to be honest, though. He's one of those guys. If he was to come in studio to TNR and to meet you guys and sit down here for an hour, all your ideas of him and opinions of him would all go out the window.
We've interviewed him, and he was great. We've interviewed him, and he was, and that's the one thing. We interviewed him early in his career.
He will win you over.
He was awesome.
When we talked about this yesterday, actually, when we interviewed J.J. Watt, it was when still the narrative was he was delivering pizzas at Central Michigan. And, before he, I don't remember where he graduated from, but or where he went to school. But
Wisconsin.
So he transferred from Central Michigan to Wisconsin. So that was still the narrative. So that was before, tire flipper. But all right, we'll be back.
I've gone 4 different ways with J.J. Watt. First, I really liked him. And then he became Captain Hardo. Like, couldn't wait to get in front of the TV and flip tires. Yep. And then I really liked him because of the whole Houston Hurricane thing.
Sure.
And
now I'm million.
I know. And now I'm back to just thinking the guy's a douche.
Okay.
So he's a douche with a heart who I'd probably like if we hung out.
Right.
Good way to encapsulate it. Perfect.
You know what? I think he just did that for the attention. All right. So we'll be back.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
Hey.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich brought this article up earlier in the show. Was it Jason LaConfora?
Yeah, it was a really cool.
Jason's on a roll these days.
Yeah, he writes about Tom Brady every day, and he keeps throwing out these nuggets of people he says he's speaking to and all this. But the interesting thing that he wrote yesterday was from what he has heard and what he thinks and people he's spoken to, how the dominoes would fall after Tom Brady or if Tom Brady left New England.
Sure.
And he said that from everyone he's spoken to, that the biggest chance of a place that Tom Brady would go, it would be the Chargers. And you've heard all the reasons why is that, he's got a house out there and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said what would happen after that is that you would have Philip Rivers playing for the Buccaneers because Philip Rivers just moved to Florida. There's a relationship there, I think, that's like with Bruce Arians and I forget what the Wisenhunt, I think, is down there as well. And then
makes sense
from that, Jameis Winston would go to the Raiders.
I love it.
Because, you know, that's the kind of guy that I want a gunslinger out there. I'm not afraid to throw 30 interceptions.
Let's roll the dice. We're in Vegas.
You can totally see Gruden doing that. And then,
so far, these all kind of make sense.
That's the reason I'm talking about it because it's like everything kind of was like, okay, I can see that. And then where would Derek Carr go? Derek Carr, they're saying, would go to the Washington Redskins. And I forget the justification there. There was like another person. Oh, Jack Del Rio now works for the
Loved
Redskins.
Loved Carr when he was in Oakland.
Oh, it was an MVP candidate.
There.
Yep.
Under Rivera. Okay.
That's right. So Rivera, you know, would be there, but Jack Del Rio is also there as well. But the best part of it is they said that leaves the Patriots with an opening. And he said that he doesn't believe that Bill Belichick would just start with Stidham. He said that he would go after Teddy Bridgewater. And bring Bridgewater here.
That's unreal. That for some reason, every single one of those moves that kind of Lockham 4 is suggesting kind of makes sense.
It does.
When you the pairings of them, the Rivers with Bruce Arians, the Jack Del Rio and Carr. You know, I mean, you know, Tom to L.A. Obviously, I think just the appeal of the city. Makes sense.
Would pay him a fantastic amount of money.
Think of the marketing, because that stadium needs to open big. And on top of that, they said that he wants to launch what a better market to launch his TB12 brand in, which is huge when he's out there. And also, it's a city that Giselle would absolutely love.
Okay, so say that LA offers him $30 million. And
$30 million for 3 years, that's what it would.
Has to be a multi-year deal, but $30 million.
Okay,
average.
So $30 million, and the Patriots offered like 27. Do you think that Tom would stay? Because that's a question. Would he?
Yes, he would.
Okay,
I think so too.
I think he would stay. Yes.
So you think that his preference is to stay?
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, the money's got to be.
You don't think he's sick of Belichick?
Oh, he's totally sick of Bill. But if Bill is paying him, Bill or really Kraft is paying him what is a competitive rate, which is, you know, at least top 10 salary, then he's willing to stay. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. Now, he wants to enjoy. I think he wants to enjoy being recruited and being loved up and be hobnobbing with owners and being told how great you are and that we want you. I think he really enjoys that. But if the Patriots gave him a competitive offer of a multi-year deal, don't kid yourself. He wants to stay here because it's the familiarity with it, the system, just the fact that you have a chance to win and to extend your brand here.
Belichick wouldn't want to do that.
No.
Okay.
But that's why, Fred, I'm convinced that there's three teams that are desperate enough to blow whatever the Patriots are willing to offer out of the water.
But here's the thing.
And real quick, those three teams, as I mentioned, the Chargers, because they want to launch that franchise. On top of that, you've got the Raiders, because they want to launch that franchise first year in Vegas. But more than any of them, and I was saying this after they ended up losing. When if you're the Titans and you're the owner of the Titans and you're sitting there and you were just that close to making the Super Bowl that you could taste it, don't you think that you would throw whatever you got at Tom Brady to get him in there? Because he might be that one little extra thing that pushes you over the top.
I would do it because – so who do they have in the hopper that's a young quarterback? They don't, right?
No.
I mean, they don't – and so go get Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Go draft a quarterback. Tom's, according to some of these reports, is now willing to be a mentor to a young quarterback.
I don't believe that.
Shocking. That was the thing that made me stare at it and went, what?
Right. That would be first. But he wants to be employable. He wants to look more employable to prospective teams. So why not put that out there? That's a smart move, because anytime you're bringing a quarterback at 43, which he'll be, you want to think that he is willing to download a lot of the stuff that he knows and be a good teammate to whoever it is that they bring in. So I think that's a smart move by Tom. Tennessee makes a ton of sense. A ton of sense.
That's a good team, too. If you put him on it.
And here's the thing. At first, I would say, you know, no way. He's not going to Nashville. Because part of it is because, you know, even though he's friends with Vrabes hasn't proven himself as – I said this at the beginning of the season. I don't see him going to Nashville because we don't really know what Mike Vrabel is as a head coach yet, right? It was still, I mean, his first year he was 9-7, and there were some questionable kind of coaching decisions in his first year. You weren't really sure. I think we all know. I think Mike's a pretty damn good coach. I think he proved it this year that he can coach in this league and be one of the better coaches in this league. Tom, I think now is like, okay, I'm willing. You know what?
Right.
I wouldn't mind going playing for Mike. I trust him as a good, being a good coach, and isn't going to be a guy that loses us games.
So ultimately, we know Belichick doesn't want to do this, but do you think that Kraft can just sit and not blink? Do you think that Kraft can sit there while and watch Tom get courted?
I think it's a heartstrings thing. He's going to try to pull.
It's like, so hard for him,
right? Yeah. And so, like, Belichick sitting there just going, "All right, you know, try to ignore all this." And Kraft is watching him, you know, tour the facilities in Vegas or
flirt with Mark Davis. Can you imagine RKK? I bet you was just.
For this guy.
You might as well just go up and kick him right in the schnuts. To see him out there talking to Mark Davis, openly flirting with him, had to kill RKK. Had to kill him. So, you know what, Freddie? Therein lies the rub. Is Robert Kraft, at the end of the day, all this flirting and courting, and Tom's out there having a good time with all these other owners, and when March 18th comes, he has the ability to fly around, and it's going to be covered.
Like Manning.
Like Manning was.
Yeah, there's going to be...
It's
like the O.J. Remember? Because Manning was like the O.J. chase.
They were following him on a helicopter.
And they were following the car.
Here's what's going to happen. You are going to be shocked at how much money they are going to be throwing at Tom Brady. Like, you're going to find out his contract. It's going to be utterly absurd. And I think there might even be part of Tom Brady that says, I want to be the highest per year paid quarterback if you want me. Yeah, what is it, $34 million? Is that the...
35.
Russell Wilson's 35.
Couldn't you see him going, I want $36 million. Yeah. I want you for once to be known as the highest paid quarterback. Now, it would be for just like 2 to 3 years. But I could see that money being thrown his way. And here's what Robert Kraft is going to do. Because he knows that Bill Belichick will not want that. He's made the decision that if I have to keep one of the two happy, it's Bill Belichick. He is going to think that he can win over Tom Brady by tugging at the heartstrings. We're a family here, Tom. We've done this together. Look at all the success.
The expression is, that ship has sailed.
Right. He should have done that last year.
Right.
That doesn't work.
Tom's not falling for the banana tailpipe again.
But he's going to do that.
He'll try.
Okay, right. He can try. First of all, anyone who gives him 3 years at any kind of money is dumb.
Mark Davis.
I mean,
he's the guy.
It's going to really cripple your franchise. Mm. And so, it will. He's the ninth best quarterback in the league.
It wouldn't cripple your franchise if you're the Titans. Like, that's the one team that all of this makes sense.
It makes you unable to do a lot of things that you would need to do. I mean, it gives you...
I got to check their free agents. I know they have the cap money to do it.
Yeah, I know, but you need cap money to do a lot of things.
But if you take that team that they had this year, and I don't know which ones are free agents, but I'll have to check, but I know Derrick Henry's not a free agent. And
Yes.
Oh, I thought he's got another year.
Nope.
He's a free agent.
So that's kind of screwy. Well, that's a big deal.
They can transition tag him, and they can... Yeah. They can put him
franchise
on a
tag.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they could franchise him.
Yep.
By the way, Derrick Henry, I give him another year. I mean,
here's the problem. We were talking about this, and we've gone over and over. Backs that get a lot of carries in their 20s last till they're like 28 or 29. He's 25 now.
I wouldn't give
this
him.
This is the first year that he's been used like this.
What's the tag on a running back right now? Because, I mean, running backs are always shockingly.
Probably, if I had to guess, nine or ten. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott's making 15, I think, on average. So that would be the conundrum for the Tennessee Titans.
I mean, because any team
you pay Tom 30 and then you pay your running back, 15,
right? And then you got nothing.
Then you have nothing.
Then you got nothing left. And I'm not positive that Tom Brady takes them to the Super Bowl.
They're thinking the franchise tag for a running back this coming year, based on what it was last year, should be about 12.
So 12 to a running back and 35 to a quarterback.
Yes.
Who's 43 years old.
Who's 43 years old. And by the way, that's absolutely no guarantee that you get to the Super Bowl. I don't know if Tom Brady's the quarterback of that team if they win that game.
Then they're sitting there with a quarterback that, like, are you going to sign Ryan Tannehill?
Listen to this.
Are you going to sign Ryan Tannehill? Is that your big move?
Hang on. Derrick Henry's, I just was told this, last year at Alabama, he had 395 carries.
Oh, that's insane.
Totally. By the way, have you ever seen his high school? They're utterly absurd.
You want to just be thoroughly entertained Watch Derrick Henry High School highlights.
Yeah. I know, it's crazy.
It's some of the funnest. You just, it's a joke how much bigger he is than his offensive lineman,
yep.
than his the defensive lineman.
It's Andy Reid at the punt, pass, and kick competition.
Yeah, it's just, unfair.
It is.
I mean, you might as well not play the game. I mean, the kid's just going to, I mean, what are you going to do?
But I will tackle him. I will say this about Tom, though. Please, Tom, please embrace this process like he says he's going to. And go and tour and flirt and just shake your butt in front of everybody because it's just gonna be fun to watch and to see ultimately what happens. I really, and you know what, here's the thing is, nobody really has any real idea what's gonna happen. And my guess is neither does Tom.
Yeah.
He has no clue where he's gonna end up.
I'm a Patriots fan, I want him gone because if he leaves,
unless they're able to pull off some crazy scheme where they can get, you know, some great receivers around him, some decent weapons. I just don't want more of the same.
You give him $35 million. Good
luck. According to what I see here, the Titans cap space is around $57 million, and Derrick Henry made just over $1 million this last year.
Oh,
so
wow.
He's going to get a big bump.
Plus, you need to be able to sign your draft picks.
Logan Ryan was their only big name, high salary guy that's a free agent who made $10 million this last year.
But you talk about weapons that Tom would have on that offense.
Yeah.
I mean, they got a really, really great up and coming tight end. Young wide receiver and A.J. Brown, Adam Humphries, Corey Davis. I mean, they are stacked on offense with one of the best offensive lines. That would be a very appealing place for me to go if I'm Tom Brady.
Yeah. But if I'm Tennessee, I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. You're that close. You've never won one.
2 years.
I mean, if Brady's the quarterback, are you sure they win that game?
I think they have a better chance.
Yeah. They have a better chance. I'm not positive they win that game.
I don't know if you're going to bring in a quarterback that could get you closer. Look at it that way.
Okay.
I think it's fair.
All right. But, I mean, that really hamstrings you.
You're all in. You're fully committed. You're all in it. You've blown up most of your cap space to bring him in. Plus, you have to sign Derrick Henry. That's $11 million extra dollars if you franchise him.
Plus, I have no idea what he's going to be like next year. All right. Well, here are the headlines. We'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's do something crazy, crazy, crazy.
Toucher.
We're going to need Advil for breakfast.
Rich.
First half hour, don't go to the bathroom because you have no idea what the hell's going on.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Ted Johnson in studio.
By the way, have you seen what Vegas is planning on doing for the draft?
Yes, yes.
I mean, how could that go wrong?
So
what they're doing is, you know, they did this in Nashville last year, and they shut down the entire road, like right there on Broadway, and they made a huge deal.
So much acclaim. I mean, everybody says it went off really, really well.
And you know what? I guess F me, because I thought that, like, who's going to, like, travel and make a trip out of going to, like, the draft? I just thought that was
especially when they shut down, like, the fun street.
Right, where you really can't do anything. But they did, and it was a huge success, so what do I know?
Power of the NFL.
So they're doing it in Vegas, but apparently when they call your name, the stage is going to be in the actual Bellagio fountains, like in that like lake where the fountains are, and the person who just got drafted will get on a boat and it will take them out to the middle of the stage that's out there. How long is that going to take? How great is it going to be, too, those guys who fall from the first round to, like, the second round? They're sitting there in the little, like, boarding dock. And they don't get to get on the boat. You know? So how unbelievable would be that? I mean, it just seems
Bird
like
Bird actually made a good point. I'm not bringing it up on the air, but there is a symbolism to that that could be unfortunate. So don't worry about it. You'd have to really think into it, but I'm just impressed that
Bird said something you really had to think into?
No. Bird said something that was like, I mean, he looked at a nuance and it was fairly
nailed it.
I mean, it's not something anyone would think about, but he looked at a nuance and it was good.
Okay.
All right.
We'll put that aside for now.
I just wanted to give him credit.
Attaboy, Bird. Way to go, buddy. Did I hear Boston was in line to maybe host the draft?
Man, they're in line to host everything, but it never happens.
Okay.
You know, like, I mean, that was
where
the name
they
that was thrown
out. Windsor Market?
No, they would do it out in, Everett.
right at the casino.
You know what? Do it at the old Wonderland track.
Seems to be the hot spot.
You know, can you imagine
Suffolk Down?
Just how car. If they had it like in the city, you would just be like, oh my.
On the common. They'd have it on the common.
Just stop. Oh, good. Good luck getting there.
Everyone freezing their nuts off.
Yeah, it's just awful.
It'd be that one April day where we got a snowstorm.
April? Probably. How about every April?
Yeah. Like, April sucks.
It's been the worst for years.
Isn't that crazy?
It wasn't terrible last year.
Oh, April? This year it sucked. Yeah. April, didn't April rain the entire month?
It was yes.
Cold?
Yes. Yes. It was cold in May.
I'll take that over snow any day.
Dude, the rain
yes,
sucked.
But it rained more than any other time in the history of the effing country.
Yeah, no, no, thank you. I just that month it would be the worst idea ever to have that here. Unless they, I mean, yeah, I can't think of where they wouldn't do it at Gillette. I mean, no. That would be a nightmare. No, there's nothing really. No, dude, you're comparing to the Bellagio
be less of a nightmare.
And freaking Broadway in Nashville. Like these
have
two,
you
like
to Gillette. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Foxborough. I mean,
you got to love the fact the NFL is going to Vegas. I think it's awesome.
How pretentious they used to be about the gambling part of things, yes, and now they've just embraced it.
Totally good. Good for them. It's about time. Are you kidding me? So and I love. Have you seen the pictures of the new stadium being built?
Yeah,
it looks like something that's built, you know, 100 years from now.
I've seen it. I saw them doing construction on it when I was there this summer. I mean, it's a monolith. It just like fell out of the sky. It looks like. But you're right. Some of the renderings on the inside,
it's amazing.
I mean, you thought that the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta was like high tech. Yeah. Like this apparently blows it away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just saw that. I just like the amount of time it would take to get on the boat and then be brought all the way out there. It just seems like a disaster waiting to happen.
Yes. And then you know the boat's going to break down. Like it's going to be like a Disney ride.
Right. It should be a nightmare. So, okay.
They could just have Tebow come and walk on the water.
Really quick, speaking of the draft, there's a talk about the Bengals possibly blowing all this, like completely screwing their number one pick and trading away to not take Joe Burrow. That's a ridiculous notion, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so obvious what's going to happen. It's smacking us all in the face, but it's, you know, they got to keep it interesting. Right. They keep people on the edge of their seats and thinking that there's other things that they're going to do.
I could argue that.
Screw that up. Could the Bengals
in Mike Lockhart, I'm asking you, draft guru Michael Lockhart, is this ridiculous? If Cincinnati trades down for a haul of picks for next year, you know they're going to suck next year anyway, to get Trevor Lawrence. Would you gamble to get Trevor Lawrence?
Sure. It's just as much as a gamble to get Burrow, so why not? If you're going to add a bunch of other players to it and maybe you can hit on a bunch of them, sure, I'd try that.
But you're not guaranteed to get Trevor Lawrence.
I get the draft capital I get enough draft capital where I could put it all and I could trade up to number one if I had to.
But you also have to rely on the fact or count on the fact that someone wants to give up Trevor Lawrence for a haul. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, you said it best.
If you use the backup quarterback that they had this year, they're getting the first pick next year. That guy sucks.
Right.
thought Miami was having the first pick this year.
You think Trevor Lawrence is that much of an upgrade over Joe Burrow?
They're saying Trevor Lawrence is the best college quarterback prospect since Elway. And I can only go by what they say. I mean, the kid hasn't lost a game since until the championship game.
Somebody said they should do the draft at Kowloon. Perfect. If it's here.
Parking lot's big enough.
You've made it to the boat.
That's right. Congratulations.
You've been inside the restaurant. There's a boat you can sit on.
With the second pick in the NFL draft.
Jay Stu, yes.
The Bengals select. Oops, I killed it.
The Bengals select Saugus wings with extra Saugus sauce.
Ladies and gentlemen, every pick, every team selects Andy Wong. All right, we'll be back. I don't know. If they really wanted Trevor Lawrence, I mean, you could get a haul for that first pick.
It's just taking a massive risk.
It's taking a massive risk. There's no doubt
about
it.
Joe Burrow,
I think you take the franchise quarterback you have sitting in front of you.
I don't know if he's a franchise quarterback.
Stupid.
I think he is.
He had the best college year in history.
He's brilliant.
He has a weak arm. And he does. He has a weak arm. And he has a weak arm? Yes.
I don't think it's Chad. You compared him to Chad Pennington. I don't think that's right.
Maybe it's not as weak as Chad Pennington, but he doesn't have a strong arm. And I'm not positive on his resume.
But he's very, very accurate, which is more important than having a strong arm.
He had a fabulous year this year. There's no question about
it. Too big a risk. You take him at number one. You don't trade down.
Trevor Lawrence might be a generational quarterback.
Who's to say this kid won't be?
Me.
Well, you're in the minority, I think.
I think Fred's got a new Baker Mayfield, and I'm kind of on board as far as the douche factor with Joe Burrow.
All right, that's fair.
I don't know if he's a... Oh, because he was smoking the cigar
afterwards. Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot about that. All I know is I'd won Trevor Lawrence, and that's all I know I'd won. And he looks like an idiot. He looks like he's in the Bad News Bears. All right, we'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Thatcher and Rich. And engineer Dennis, who has been working with the Patriots for a long time, including when Ted was on the team.
Go down memory lane a little bit.
So it was a lot more fun with Parcells, is what you're saying.
Oh, Parcells is great. Unlike anything you've ever... He owned a room. He walked in. He has a presence about him that... you know, like those... Have you ever been around college coaches? Like, have you ever met Dabo Sweeney in person?
No.
You know, just...
But I can kind of tell his personality, though.
Les Miles. There's just a dynamic piece to their personality that is, you're a very successful college coach. Mm-hmm. Because you own the room. You own the interview.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain. The aura around him is just, it's just palatable. Bill Parcells had the same aura. He just had the same kind of... ability to, everybody just fell in line and you just wanted to hear everything he was going to say. Funny, engaging, intense, but he was the classic break you down but never leave you down kind of coach, always reeled back later to build you back up.
But how did he build you back up? Because we only hear the bad stuff.
Yeah.
With Parcells. Like, what did he ever say to you that, like, brought you back up?
Okay. So he might be yelling. A lot of times he didn't yell at you. He yelled at your coach to so that you would hear it. Hey, Al Groh, defensive coordinator. Hey, Johnson thinks he's, he has 10 tackles last week, so he doesn't have to show up for practice, Al. Is that what it is, Al? You know, where I'm standing like right there, you know?
Yeah.
And then he would come up to you after practice. That he put his arm around you. Hey, look, kid, I'm just hard on you because I see something there, you know. So that, you know, and so build you back up. He would take the time one on one to spend with you to kind of, you know.
So he would mock you in front of others, yes. But only praise you when you were alone.
Sometimes maybe that
was a compliment sandwich.
Yes,
that's right. Thinking, but you were allowed to have a little bit more personality back then.
Yeah, I would say so. There were personality. There's not a lot of personalities on this team, you know. I mean, if you look at, you know, the leaders, it's the leaders. The leaders on the Patriots are the guys that are asked to go to the podium and give the same kind of canned, you know, answers every single time.
So you had more fun.
There was definitely a lot. We had a lot of fun. The teams. I mean, it wasn't all. I mean, we had big personalities. And, you know, guys.
Oh my God.
That,
Rodney and
Vrabel.
Yeah, I mean, Vrabel.
It was Willie Mack.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? It was Ty Law. Personalities everywhere, and it was just a lot of fun because of the personalities and the big personalities, and you know, but the right kind, you know, the positive kind, not the guys that everybody was pulling for each other. Good, solid guys. I was fortunate to play with.
How much confidence do you have in Bill Belichick with a newer, young quarterback? Like, if they were to bring either with Jarrett Stidham, I mean, there's got to be something somewhat jarring about having this machine that studied tape almost as much as you did, you know, in Tom Brady, a guy who just like lived and died to get it right. And I know that we've seen a small sample size with Matt Castle and, of course, the four games in which Tom Brady was suspended. But how confident are you that he'll be able to find success with somebody who isn't as much of a machine as Tom Brady?
Yeah, I'll be fascinated to see it. I'm curious to see what it looks like. I think Bill will be just fine with – I think Jarrett Stidham, I think he's going to be better than maybe what people think. You know, I think for Bill, it's just you gotta have a high football acumen. You gotta be very, very smart, and you gotta come to work, and it's gotta mean everything to you, and it's all you care about.
Well, they said Stidham was in the wrong offense at Auburn. They said that They were very impressed with him during his workout, so maybe Stidham is another guy that was a jewel in the rough. So, yeah, maybe they can get – maybe we don't know about Stidham because, I mean, a lot of people seem to like him coming out. And I guess he was just in a crappy Auburn offense.
All right, so what do you think about this this game? I mean, because I just don't know how I think both teams are phenomenal to watch. They're fun. I love the defense of the 49ers. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how you can outscore what Patrick Mahomes is doing right now.
Okay, so you typically, if you're going, let's look at the kind of matchup of the game. It's going to be Kansas City's offense versus the San Francisco 49ers defense. Typically, historically, and John and I were talking about it off air, it's always, I would lean towards giving the benefit of the doubt to the defense. So I think it was as high-flying and as good as that offense is for the Kansas City Chiefs, I just think the physicality and the way in which the 49ers play defense and get after you with their front four and the physicality of their secondary will be able to somewhat neutralize what Kansas City is doing. You can be very, very physical in these types of games. The big game, a lot of times the whistles get swallowed. They're not as apt to call ticky-tack fouls. So I think the way you neutralize speed is with physicality. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I played on defenses where we play these high-flying offenses, the Colts, with all their talented receivers and tight ends. We hit them in the mouth. Oh, you can't. The rules are changed now. Yeah. You know what? You can get them inside 5 yards, and you get them at the line of scrimmage, and you can do scheme stuff to really kind of screw up their timing. I just think the San Francisco 49ers defense is going to be do well enough to keep that Chiefs offense in check to some degree. Yeah. They're going to get theirs, but I don't see them putting 40. I don't see them hanging 40.
No, but it was just, I'll say it again, when Tennessee kept the ball for 8.5 minutes, it made it 10-0 with that dumbass throw to the stupid lineman when they could have just handed the ball off. But when they did that, and then Kansas City went, okay.
Yeah.
And then like 5 seconds later scored, I went, okay, well, this is going
to
be tough.
Down 24 points to Houston the week before.
Yeah, and they just went, now we'll go.
They flipped the switch.
But defense, how many quick strikes are the 49ers going to give up? I think they have a much better defense and won't get scored on
that. Of course they have a much better defense, but there's also the mobility of Mahomes, and you can take away some of the – I mean, they're not going to – well, Johnson, you tell me this. If you're facing a quarterback that's as mobile as Mahomes – your responsibilities on the outside are a little bit different, right?
Yes, you're a little bit more tempered in how you rush. Yes,
right. You have to contain him.
Yes.
So
you don't take as many chances.
Right. So I mean that negates some of the pass rush. What are you smiling at, stupid?
I was just thinking. I'm wondering how many passing downs Ted was in on.
Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
Well, he still had to. He was a run stuffer extraordinaire.
That doesn't mean I.
But
can't
he didn't talk
just
about a lot
it,
of chasing quarterbacks on third down.
He played pro a lot, John. To get out of here, and you take one final parting shot.
He asked. I didn't say anything.
He's kicking him up and eat him.
Come on, Ted. We all want to see it.
Over there giggling like an idiot. I'm like, what is that?
John,
did your hearing aid pick up Bugs Bunny?
He was around when I was playing, and I wasn't out there on those sub packages very often.
Regardless. Anyway, with a mobile quarterback that can help negate some of the pass.
I was in on the meetings, though, when they were talking about doing this.
I understand.
So there.
All right.
I think it's going to be a compelling game, though.
I'm really looking forward to it.
You have fun down there, buddy. You stay out of trouble.
Yeah, I will do my best.
All right, man.
That's right. You got this club kid. All right. No commercials here, just the headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation.org to get involved.